The following essay was originally aired in 2004. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, October 24th, 7:45 a.m., Mount Pisgah Arboretum. Gradual changes in the color and condition of individual plants have combined to adorn the hardwood riparian forest with the deteriorating allure of a classic Pacific Northwest autumn. Killing frosts, heavy rains, and strong winds have not yet arrived to fully deconstruct the lavish summer landscape. Big leaf maples are tinged with incendiary yellow and orange, while Oregon ash trees have already shed most of their leaves. White oaks retain their leathery green color and texture, while a few leaves on their outermost branches have just begun to surrender their chlorophyll. Despite the chill morning air, a stonefly, nearly 2 inches long, flutters across my face before vanishing against the contorted cork bark ridges on the knotted trunk of a mature oak. Wisps of fog rise from the coast fork of the Willamette and spray against the steep, rocky terrain on the river's east bank. These waves of humidity have left each leaf with a glistening varnish. A winter wren broadcasts its chirping reprimand from the flexible branch of a broad-leafed willow. Its perch bounces up and down in rhythm just out of reach of the powerful slate-brown current. Dark-eyed juncos flit through the boughs of riverside conifers while searching for insects. These gray, dark-headed sparrows flash their distinctive white tail feathers as they retreat. A family of Steller's jays squabbles with a gray squirrel over territorial rights to the ground below a large white oak with a bumper crop of acorns. Snowberries cling persistently to their branches, embellishing the green, brushy tangle. Their white, waxy-looking berries were considered poisonous by Aboriginal peoples. They were given names like corpseberry and snakeberry in several native languages. These fruits are an important late-season food for many creatures. The berries ripen in autumn and frequently remain available for half a year or more. As I walk by a homogeneous patch of snowberries, a mule deer loses its nerve and bounds away from its hiding place just 20 feet in front of me. A human would have an impossible time negotiating the brushy terrain. This doe is able to escape by using a bounding gait known as slotting or pronking. Mule deer are able to bound and land on all four legs simultaneously as if riding a pogo stick. This unique ability allows the deer to move safely and rapidly through complex, brushy, and hilly areas. As the hardwoods lose their leaves, the forest canopy dissolves away, leaving the understory exposed to the abbreviated daylight of winter. Ironically, just as trees, shrubs, and other flowering plants are retiring into dormancy, the so-called simpler plants, mosses, liverworts, fungi, and lichens, are beginning to grow actively and thrive in the cool, moist sunlight. Lichens, which are obscured by less foliage during the warmer months, are now becoming more evident. Their predominantly gray-green color scheme prevails over the deciduous forest during the winter months. Lengthy ribbons of fishnet lichen festoon twisted oak branches along the river. This species can only survive with a frequent saturating fog. The fishnet lichen, or Ramalina, forms long hanging nets that can grow up to 11 centimeters a year, making it one of the fastest growing lichens in the world. Lichens contribute significantly to our biological diversity. About 1,000 different forms are known throughout the Pacific Northwest. They provide food, shelter, and nesting material for many creatures. Lichens are ancient composite organisms consisting of a fungus and a photosynthetic algae or cyanobacteria growing together in a mutually controlled symbiotic relationship. Each of these partners can grow independently, calling into question our common understanding of individuality. On Friday, October 30th, the Cascade Mycological Society is sponsoring a talk by David Arora. David Arora is the author of two very well-known mushroom field guides, Mushrooms Demystified and All That the Rain Promises and More. In addition to authoring field guides, he has contributed to research in taxonomy and ethnomycology, describing new mushroom species and writing about the role of mushroom hunting in the economic development of rural communities. The presentation will be on Friday, October 30th at 7 p.m. at the LCC Forum Building, Room 308. There is a sliding scale donation requested. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, COONEY at MSN.com.